It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Burke 1130.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. 13 minutes to go ahead of the close on a Wednesday. The Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ, all higher. Dow and S&P on track for a new record as quarterly numbers out of Microsoft and Morgan Stanley spurred optimism that corporate earnings can support further gains. Microsoft shares, they're up 6% right now. Morgan Stanley up 1.8%. The Dow up 49 points to 18,608, a gain of 0.3%. S&P 500 index up 10 to 2174, a gain of 0.5%. NASDAQ up 57, a gain of 1.1%. 10-year down 8/32, yield 1.58%, and gold down 18.30 the ounce to 13.14, a drop there of 1.4%. Crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, up 29 cents, $44.94 a barrel, a gain of 0.7%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. It's time now for the ETF report. It's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Let's go to Catherine Cowdery for the ETF report.
ETFs are growing at a faster rate than mutual funds, and Fred Tomczyk, chief executive at TD Ameritrade Holding, expects that pattern to continue.
This is a trend that I think you're going to continue to see, and particularly in this world with low-cost index funds and a world where returns are rather hard to come by.
Tomczyk says there are some TD Ameritrade clients that rely heavily on ETFs.
This has been a long-term secular trend that we're well positioned for. Trading clients use index products a lot. Particularly the SPY and SPX symbol, and to increasingly futures symbols, to get exposure to other things around the world and be able to trade 524.
In addition, TD Ameritrade is seeing its long-term investors shift from traditional mutual funds to ETFs. TD Ameritrade is planning to launch a digital advice platform or robo-advisor for its self-directed clients next year. Robo-advisors typically use ETFs to build their portfolios. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Pim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
Oil prices are up after the ninth weekly U.S. crude drawdown. Here to tell us more about oil, commodities, and metals is Gordon Johnson. He is Managing Director and Head of Alternative Energy Research at Axiom Capital Management. Gordon, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so go ahead. Let's start off with oil prices. Yep. And why do you think we're seeing this rally, at least a modest rally in oil prices, but also the rally in commodity-based stocks?
Yeah, so I think the rally in commodity-based stocks has been driven mainly by expectations of stimulus. Clearly, after the unexpected Brexit vote, a number of central banks came out and said definitively that they were going to stimulate if needed. And then you had
China and Japan, for example.
China and Japan, but more specifically, then you had the big win in Japan, and their central bank and their essentially their leader came out and said that he was going to drop helicopter money. So we don't think it's being driven by fundamentals. We think it's being driven by expectations on stimulus. So we think the rallies are very weak with respect to substance.
Now, you've done a little research that explains that about $100 billion in helicopter stimulus money from Japan would equate to just 2.4% of GDP for the country.
That's correct. So that's a good point, Tim. So the point is, people hear helicopter money, and the robo traders and the machines see helicopter money, or it's put in the headlines and stocks go crazy. But when you do the math, it's only 2.4% of Japan's GDP. Japan has a debt to GDP ratio roughly 230%. Keep Keep in mind, China did about $1 trillion in new credit in the first quarter. That was a record amount. That was essentially stimulus. And they have a debt to GDP similar to Japan's, a bit higher at 250%. And $1 trillion, not $100 billion, but $1 trillion only brought them 2 months of good data. The data has subsequently turned lower. So the point is, $100 billion is like trying to kill an elephant with a fly swatter. We think it means nothing fundamentally, but it's driving headlines and invigorating animal spirits.
All right. Well, trying to kill an elephant with a fly swatter is a fool's errand. It's about the United States, and will the United States have to embark on some kind of fiscal stimulus program?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the United States, if you think about it, unemployment is below 5%, and there's already discussions whether there's any slack left in the economy. So I think another major stimulus in the United States is highly unlikely. And just really quick on oil, I think the real issue I have with oil and why we think over the near term oil prices are going to fall is because our worries lie with the products, gasoline and diesel. And if you look at the products, they're stuffed to the gills across the world, the U.S., EU, and also Asia. That is essentially demand for oil. And then from a supply perspective, we think OPEC is going to increase supply. So we just think from a supply-demand perspective, we think supply is going to overtake demand for oil again in the fourth quarter, and you're going to get some pressure there.
All right. I was taking a look at some of the transport sectors. For example, railroad shipments are falling at the fastest rate, I believe, since like 2009. Profits are down 5 straight quarters.
Yep.
How does that play into your strategy?
So, look, I mean, so again, people are talking about strong demand in the U.S. But again, this is more headline stuff. If you look at the actual data points, so specifically in the steel sector, 4 key things we look at. We look at car sales measured by SAAR, which is total annualized car sales. That's rolling over now. You can pull that up on Bloomberg, SAAR. We look at MSCI data, so that's U.S. service center data in the steel space. And if you look at that data, it just came out yesterday. It was bad. We look at rig counts, and clearly rig counts are off the lows. But if you look at the chart, we're still near record lows, so still demand in that aspect is bad. And then we look at the architecture billing index for non-resi, and that's good. So 3 out of the 4 indicators are bad. And if you look at things like durable sales, durable goods orders, wholesale inventories to sales, import prices, export prices, all of these things are basically pointing to recession in the U.S. So look, we have a major company reporting earnings at 4 o'clock. United Rentals is one of the companies we cover with a sell rating. We think the numbers are going to be bad. And we think the U.S. Overall, the U.S. is still marred in economic weakness. So we think that despite the strength in the stocks, we think fundamentals are not good, and we think that's going to play out as earnings come out.
I just want to follow up on your comments having to do with steel. I know you've been following the industry for a while. What about the imports of steel into the United States?
Yeah, so it's interesting. If you look at it, imports are spiking up right now, and nobody's talking about this. And keep in mind, so what happened is steel prices in the U.S. spiked up not because of demand, but because of protectionist measures. The U.S. Essentially the U.S. government put very aggressive tariffs on a number of imports of steel from a number of different countries, and that caused prices to spike higher. So if you look at the spread of U.S. prices to international prices, be it Europe, China, Turkey, whatever, U.S. prices are near record premiums to international prices. So what would you expect? You expect more imports, and you're starting to see that in the data. Imports are now spiking higher, but still the stocks continue to run higher. In fact, just yesterday, Steel Dynamics came out. Everybody expected them to talk very positively about the second half. Last year in their 2Q print, they said the second half was going to be great. This year, they're saying they see pressure in the second half. Despite that fact, the stock has over the past probably 3 months, is up nearly 40%. So, again, we see some fundamental weakness coming in the second half, and I don't think investors are positioned accordingly.
Well, just to follow up on what you're talking about with Steel Dynamics, STLD, the shares are down 1.5% today, but combine that with yesterday's 4% decline, and you've got pressure on Steel Dynamics. Tell me about the link between money printing, perhaps by central banks, and commodity prices.
Yeah, so I think the link between central banks and commodity prices is again, sentiment-driven. So, but the thought is, think about this. If every single central bank in the world does indeed drop helicopter money, and they do it in a substantial way, it's not $100 billion, let's say it's $4 trillion, essentially you're putting money in the pockets of people, but also you're directing money specifically at infrastructure projects, buildings, et cetera. That would create, as we saw in China in 2008 and 2009, demand for steel, demand for a number of different commodities, and thus support all of these different commodity stocks. However, if you look at what people are actually saying, when I say people specifically, if you look at what Japan is saying, if you look at the backdrop in the U.S., clearly it looks like we're not going to get a big stimulus package. I don't think you have support in Congress, even if a president wanted to do that. It's just not matching up with the expectations that people have. And again, we think it's going to play out in earnings. And if you look at the fact that the Chinese yuan, the Chinese currency, they've devalued their currency to the lowest level in nearly a decade. What that means is that they're essentially exporting their deflation to the rest of the world. That is very scary, because if China's exporting its deflation to the rest of the world, that's very negative for commodities, not positive. And right now, people just aren't looking at a lot of these dynamics.
So, Gordon Johnson, what are you recommending that people do with their money right now?
The old adage, buy low, sell high. I would argue we're pretty high right now. In fact, we're at record highs, and the fundamentals don't match up. The last few times we were at, record highs, there were fundamental factors to support it, right? During the tech bubble, at least people thought that these companies were going to grow at, astronomical levels. During the housing bubble, at least people thought that, home prices were going to continue to go higher, and that was going to cause economic growth. What do people think now? Why are we at record levels? We're at record levels because people are putting their bets that, hey, stocks are going up, so they'll continue to go higher, and the federal, the central banks are going to support us. But if you ask people how they feel about fundamentals and how they feel about economies, they don't feel so positive. So I think now's the time to sell.
Thanks very much. Gordon Johnson, Managing Director, Head of Alternative Energy Research at Axiom Capital Management. This is Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox. We're going to take you through to the close on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.